Tomorrow we celebrate the 101st anniversary at 11:11 a.m., the end of World War I. World War I was a bloodletting, a massacre like it had never been seen. 450,000 people approximately died in the American Civil War. They kept using the same tactics all the way through the beginning of World War I. What happened was the technology had advanced so much that you had water-cooled machine guns that could shoot about 800 or 900 bullets a minute as men went across in cavalry charges and infantry charges. The British in one battle at the Battle of Verdun lost 50,000 people in 1 hour. The slaughter of it shocked the world. And they wanted a remembrance for all those people that had served. That's eventually what became Veterans Day. The World War I was so traumatic that there's a term called the Lost Generation. It was that most of that generation that served in World War I, they were exposed to poison gas, artillery shells, machine guns, and the people that did make it home were never the same. Veterans Day, a guy's name in 1954, and our veterans walk around, and sometimes they don't get a lot of appreciation, except for once a year, maybe twice a year. The ability to meet here like we're doing, that didn't come from a government. That came from a young man or woman that had a weapon. When we assemble to protest something, or even get on Facebook to talk about something, the roots of that freedom come from some farm boy in Iowa who couldn't even spell the Philippines, but got out there in World War II. Right now, there are 19.6 million veterans that live in the United States. 1.9 million of them are female. About half of them are over the age of 65. Whether they were drafted or volunteered, they gave part of themselves for the defense of our country. Whether it's in peacetime or war, they were changed by the service in one way or another. Mac and Susanna both served. Thomas served. We've had people that have come here that have served. Our dad, Robbie, and our dad served in Korea. A lot of veterans paid a very high price for their service. 2009, the VA estimated about 13,000 veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan alone suffered from alcohol dependency or some form of addiction. 20% of the veterans that served in Iraq or Afghanistan, many of them, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh deployments, suffered from PTSD, major depression. Almost 19% of those have a traumatic brain injury. Rate of depression among veterans is 5 times greater than it is for a civilian. The rate of PTSD, 15 times greater. As I said earlier, 40,000 veterans are living out on the streets. More than that can't get into the VA. Which is just a shame. It is a disgrace in this nation. And that's me. That's not the Church of the Nazarene. That is me. When we have people that spit on this flag, people that burn this flag, and they're getting thousands of dollars a month in aid, and we have people that gave it themselves, and they can't even get an aspirin, it is a shame. When we go to vote, I would recommend see how they are about veterans and seniors. That'll tell the tale about them. all day long, what kind of people they actually are. In the years before the recognition of PTSD, many young men and women came back. They were fundamentally changed internally. They were taught to kill. They were taught to be on guard. They were taught to expect the unexpected. Then there was no transition. They were brought back and expected to live a normal life. Our dad right now will not, gets very nervous being in a room without windows. He came back from Korea in 53. Very seldom does he ever talk about anything between. He'll talk about basic training. He'll talk about the night the truce was signed. Very few details in my life of anything else I've heard about that in between. And I'm 48. Many of them suffered in silence, but they go again without question. I've seen certain qualities among many of the veterans I've been privileged to know in my life. I have seen them in every branch, different wars. And I felt just led to speak about our veterans this week. This actually wasn't the message I was going to deliver, but I got to reading it and it seemed very appropriate. So I started looking for scripture that seemed to relate to our veterans. I got pulled to Paul's second letter to Timothy in chapter 2. And Paul wrote this letter. He was near death. This would be one of his final letters. A lot of the way Paul's letters are arranged in the New Testament aren't the chronological order they're written in. They are arranged from biggest to smallest. I didn't know that till I started these ministry classes. But they are arranged from largest book to smallest book. 2 Timothy was written soon right before his execution in Rome, probably about 65 years after the death of Jesus. Very personal letter. It's a final letter to a co-worker and a friend, almost like a mentor to his student. Timothy was at the church in Ephesus when Paul was writing this letter. Paul's encouraging him to continue in the faithfulness and offers his own life as an example. What he calls on Timothy to do, he's done already. I think that Paul in his writings in this chapter touched on details that spoke about his own qualities as a spiritual veteran. I think these verses also offer insight into the men and women that have served. First verse, Paul talked about, "My son, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus." Paul, in the previous chapter, was writing about people that had abandoned him. Timothy wasn't one of those. The strength that Paul was talking about to Timothy wasn't physical strength, and it's internal strength. If you look at Paul's life, he was abandoned, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, imprisoned. Paul could have used the tragedies to define him, but he didn't. Many of the veterans I've known have had a similar faith. Many of these men and women had their lives turned upside down. I knew a young woman that was married to a really nice guy. And then he joined the military, went into special forces, saw things that couldn't be unseen. That sweet guy never came back. And he knew he was different. He couldn't help it. He didn't use it as an excuse. He tried. He tried the counseling. He tried everything else. Many of our veterans have suffered physical injuries that have been very long-term. There were some that the injuries are on the inside. They were sent to be Marines. They were sent to be soldiers. And then they were expected to adapt to civilian life right after that. Me, it wasn't that simple. They became stuck. Memories that they couldn't unsee. And they couldn't forget. Couldn't be processed. It affected them and those around them. When someone you love has a problem, we're affected by it. There are times, and I didn't understand it when I was growing up. I didn't understand it when I was younger. But there are times I look at Daddy now, and I realize when he gets a far-off look, it's not necessarily that he's lost in the good thought. Every once in a while, he'll mention, and I know he does this with Robbie too, he'll mention people that he may have served with, just kind of out of the blue. And it's that's 66 years ago. World War II veterans, Vietnam veterans, Desert Storm, the men and women that have just recently gotten out, they have those sets of memories as well. Despite all that, the physical and spiritual pain, many of these men and women, they have a deeper strength that you just can't define. I've seen some that I've just stood back. I've cared for them physically. I've just stood back and I've marveled. They've had every excuse in the book to be in pain, every excuse to be just miserable. But they won't define that. They won't let that define them. Their experiences, no. They rise above that, like Paul rose above his own experiences that he could have used at any point in time to, I'm done. I have fought my fight. I have done. Verse 2, when Paul is talking about many witnesses, he's talking about the pagans, the Jews, the rich, the poor, the sinners, the Gentiles, and the rabbis. When we talked about reliable people, he wasn't talking about just anyone, but somebody that Timothy could trust to be and willing and able to teach others about Jesus. Through his experiences, Paul became real particular about the company that he kept. Like, Paul had this rift with Mark from the book of Mark because Mark left him high and dry on a missionary trip. They eventually made up before Paul was executed. But he was very particular. Timothy was his go-to guy, and he wanted Timothy to have a go-to guy. And I think he developed a sense of discernment through his experiences with people in his own ministry battles. Many of the veterans I know have developed discernment for people. They developed tight bonds with some of the people they served with. There was a fellow I can remember back when I was 20, 21. I lived right beside Mom and Daddy for a little while. I come home, and there was a strange car. It was after dark, and there was a strange car in the driveway, which if you know Ezra and Jency, they don't have after-hours company. They had, and this was back when they were in their 60s, and they still didn't. So being the paranoid person I did, I grabbed a 45 and went over to their house. It was somebody that Daddy had not talked to in 40 years. His name was Steen. He was somebody that they had served with in Korea. The man eventually later developed dementia, but until he did, he called Daddy on his birthday every year. Him and his wife came down to see Daddy a couple of times, Mom and Daddy. Tight bonds. 40 years couldn't separate it. Other veterans are like that. People that they developed these tight relationships with. And I think they have a sense of discernment just given to them. They know who they like. They know who they don't. And there's a reason why they may not care for those people. I think that they've had to be exposed to things that most of us in our regular life haven't. And they develop a trust for that person beside them because it could save their life. In verse 3, Paul, I think, is very intentional about using the comparison of a soldier. He had every reason to complain. He didn't. You being a Christian, being a servant of God wasn't easy. He accepted that with a sense of grace. I never read anything in all the letters that Paul wrote that he regretted his decision on that road to Damascus when Jesus changed the biggest persecutor of the Christian church into his greatest ambassador. All the letters, not one regret of serving Jesus. Many of the veterans I know have suffered in one way or another during their service. Sometimes they told me about it. Sometimes you can just see it. You can see it in their eyes. The pain. The loss. One thing I haven't heard from any of them, though, was a regret. Many of the young men and women that came back from Vietnam, they regretted the way they were treated when they got back, but they didn't regret going over there. They didn't regret serving. I think they just wanted somebody to love their country as much as they loved it. I think in many ways we still have that. I saw something last week that just sent me into a whole new dimension and ticked off. I was looking and I saw an Iraq war memorial with the boots and the rifle. Rifle was just bent all the way over and the memorial was desecrated. These people still know what it's like. They know what honor means and duty. And the person that did that or people have no concept of it. And there will probably be protests out there tomorrow over veterans and people that, why we celebrate this holiday. These men and women have qualities in them that are biblical in nature. Verse 4, Paul's talking to Timothy about trying to stay away from the politics that could distract him from his primary duty. Any of us, no matter what your job, veteran, non-veteran, there's politics. If you have two people in a room, there could be a political struggle. I've seen in the hospital, Jane was a nurse for 33 years. It'd be stuff that'd make days of our lives look tame. It could be in a diner, a factory. It doesn't matter. You're going to have politics, and it's in the church as well. I'm very thankful that our little church is the way it is, because I talked to some of the other pastors, and as they're telling me, I'm just so thankful. I am so thankful. People getting upset over all kinds of things, and it's Paul's warning Timothy, try and stay away from that. When you serve the American flag, you're expected to be completely committed to your country and allow nothing to prevent that from performing your duty. When you're committed to the Christian flag, completely committed to Christ and His kingdom and making disciples and serving Him. Paul knew that his primary duty was to God and his fellow Christians. Many of the combat veterans I spoke to spoke of their duty to their country and their brothers. Their brothers right beside them. Verse 5, soldiers talk about certain rules of engagement with their enemies. The rules of engagement come from their commanders. Christians follow certain rules too. They should. They come from our commander and his rule book, God's Word. Paul was trying to tell Timothy he shouldn't abandon the rules that he knows he should follow. Many of the veterans I've talked to and known, they believe in rules. They live their lives by the rules and habits they picked up during their time of service. How many people have you ever known that they left the Army, they left the Marines or Navy or Air Force, but those branches of the military never left them? In some part, they still, their daily routines, their rules, how they engage people, still come from their time in the service. Hey, morning, come on in, have a sit down. The hardworking, in verse 6, the hardworking farmer. Here Paul was writing about salvation. And Paul's right, it's hard work, but it's worth it. It is very, very hard work. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were up before you." And the sacrifices of so many veterans aren't recognized like they should be. It can be real uncomfortable to acknowledge that a stranger is permanently injured. When you see that person in the VFW hat, and they're on the walker, or they're in the wheelchair, And you knew that they were out there, probably got that injury, being on the front line defense of this country. Those sacrifices, like Paul's, will be acknowledged one day, though. They'll leave the walkers behind, the wheelchairs behind, the dark glasses, the bags on the sides, the pain. It will be left behind one day. Verses 7 and 8, Paul was receiving a lot of information. Timothy was receiving a lot of information from Paul in this section of Scripture. Some veterans can become overloaded from their experiences during their service. It may be hard for some combat veterans to reflect on their combat experiences and try to sort out what they've been through. Kind of like in the car wreck, when things start getting real slow and it just slows right down. And it's over in an instant. How many days afterwards are you kind of pulling out details from it? Think about weeks, months of that. Patrols, ambushes, missions. And you're trying to make sense of it all. It'd be like being in one of those haunted houses for days. That type of adrenaline, that type of just sensory overload coming in, and you're trying to make sense of it all. I think Paul is saying to Timothy and us that you shouldn't avoid it, and you don't have to do it alone. So many of these men and women have come back. And they're expecting, it's almost like having a huge loss, like a grief. And sometimes people expect that they should just be able to go on and bypass the grief or bypass what they've seen. It doesn't work like that. The grief and the loss and what the veterans have seen, it's there, whether you acknowledge it or not. It's okay to pray about it, and it's okay to talk about it. I think when you pray about it and you say, I have this on my heart and I can't get rid of it. I don't know what to do with it. And Jesus will open those doors. And it might be to get you to someone, a counselor, a therapist, someone that you can talk to. Jesus is still today the gospel, the good news. It's the meaning of the gospels. Paul talked about his suffering and being chained. Paul was used up during his service to Jesus. In his own words, he fought the good fight. He ended his life as a prisoner of Rome, executed. Site of Paul's execution, there are three springs still there. Trefontaine said as he was beheaded, as his head hit each part of the ground, the spring popped forward, and they're still there in Rome today. He was burnt up. As he described himself in chains, if you know a veteran, combat veteran, don't some of them kind of feel like they're still chained to that life and chained to that memory? And they can't break free from it. And they feel like they're all used up. Like the people that they were never left that combat area. They feel like there's no help. 2016, that's the most recent data available. Suicide rates for veterans was 1.5 times greater than the Americans who've never served in the military. 20 veterans a day across this country take their own lives. They accounted for 14% of all adult suicides in America on the yearly average. Even though only 8% of this country ever served in the military. Like Paul, they've endured suffering for the salvation and safety of so many. Like Paul, many of the veterans I know still show a sense of loyalty. They do. To the country they served and the people they served. a sense of duty and honor and humility. Many of the veterans that I've known that have actually been the bravest are also the humblest. They won't talk to you about what they've seen. They won't tell you about their exploits, but you'll hear from someone else. Humility, a sense of honor, a sense of duty to their brothers and their sisters. As we go to prayer, I want you to think about the veterans in your lives. Some have adjusted. Some probably still feel like Paul, like they're chained to these memories. They're chained to these experiences, and they just can't break free from it. Some who are beginning to serve and were worried about, pray for their safety. Pray for them to make it through this as a better person. A lot of our veterans out there are still fighting their battles. They relive this through their mind over and over. Let's lift them up in prayer for closure and for healing and for gratitude. I'm going to get everybody to stand with me. We're going to go to prayer. Then the songs will be open. The songs will be starting and the altars will be open. If it's on your heart to pray, it don't have to be fancy. It don't have to be out loud. Pray up here. Pray in your chair. The main thing, just good, honest, open communication and prayer to God. He knows what's in your heart. He wants to hear it. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer, Father, lifting up all the veterans in this country and their families. Father, as they fight the war, their families have too. Father, whether in peacetime or in combat, these men and women gave up part of themselves and they've been changed forever. Like iron is changed into steel through the fire. Father, some of them are still fighting their battles. Some of them are dealing with memories that they can't. They're trying to deal with them. They can't. Some veterans are dealing with them with alcohol and drugs and other things. Father, some people can't even be around firecrackers. The combat's affected them so much. Father, we lift them up to you. We lift their families up to you. And Father, we just pray for closure and for healing. Father, as new people join the military, we just pray for you to put your hand on them, Father, and guide them and lead them in every decision, every way, Father, and keep them safe. Please keep them safe. Father, thank you for the sacrifice that these men and women have made to keep this country free and keep his people free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Altars are open.